Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
I'm Heidi, practitioner. My pronouns are she, her, and my ancestry is Swiss, throwing a little French, and Scottish, English. And I'm here with other practitioners helping. That would be Mary Ballou and Andrea. And it's been a while. I'm really happy to be back. I've been on quite the journey. If you're new since last summer, you might not have seen me before. But I'm back. I'm reading. And I was going to say renewed and reconfigured. And so I'm thrilled to offer you this prayer today. Honored. Oh, looks so great from up here. In this sacred space, in this sacred place, I feel that love. I know that we are tuned in to that vast cosmic intelligence, that sacred energy that is always present in everyone and everything. And today I open my heart and my mind to the whole universe and allow the flow, knowing that I'm always grounded in spirit, knowing that answers are always available, and knowing that we are immersed in love if we open up to it. And today I do. So I say thank you. I am so grateful. I let go, I let God, and so it is.
So last year, in my dark night of the soul, I was centerless. Centerless. I did not have a center for spiritual living as my home, but I had a center for spiritual living as my home. And in that time where I was in between jobs, I was dreaming up what I would love. Like, what would the ideal relationship be with the center? What would be the most magnificent experience for me as well as for the community? And one of the things I really was seeking was a community that would support me and put my health and well-being and my restoration and renewal just as much of a priority as I did for the community. And so I'm grateful to say that over December 29th and January 1st, you paid for me to go on a retreat. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And I needed it. I had a very interesting, challenging year, as many of you did as well. And I ended up being at Camp Cedar Ridge, which is where teen camp takes place and other things take place, and did a little research. I'm going to do a retreat there in August, just planting a seed, by the way, chakra retreat, by the way. And I got to hang out with 19 other people, most of which were ministers as well. And we did a releasing ceremony, and we did singing bowls, and we walked the labyrinth, and just enjoyed the beauty of nature, and it was very soul-fulfilling for me. So I come back renewed because of you, and I'm here excited to be in service to all of you. So thank you so much. And that's really what this is all about, is about serving each other and knowing each other's highest good, and knowing that we can be in a place of giving generously instead of a place of lack. And you epitomize that. And I want to continue to build that relationship with you. And for those of you who are new here for the first time, hello, welcome. I'm Reverend Abigail Shire. I'm glad you're here. My pronouns are she and her. And I want to honor my ancestors. My ancestors hail from Ireland and Germany and Prussia. And I also want to honor this indigenous land that we stand on. I'm so grateful for the Coast Salish peoples and all the other peoples that have honored this land as we do as well here together. And what I know is that January 2026 is amazing. And this year, as many people have reminded me, is the year of one in numerology, which is new beginnings. And so it's a perfect time for us to begin anew with each other and start new things with each other. So what I've noticed, and I'm really grateful, is we're pretty full today. I don't know if you've looked all the way back, but there is an all the way back with all the chairs taken. And one of the beautiful things that means is that I get to make the lovely choice of inviting us to move to two services on March 22nd. So, it is incredible. And for those of you online, the first service will not be live streamed. So we will have this service at the normal time. We'll have first service at 9:30. It will be a more introspective service. We'll be incorporating the practitioner meditation as part of this first service. So it'll be kind of a chill meditative service. Yet I will still have my talk in that service as well. So not a band. The band will be the joyful, upbeat, vibrant second service. And for all of you introverts that are like, oh my God, too many people, or oh my God, I need a little chill space in my Sunday morning, this is for you. So I'm grateful for all of you for saying yes to me, and I'm saying yes to all of us and continuing the growth and expansion for what we're about. So, yay! Okay, so I have a little exercise for you. Take a breath with me. Now hold it. Hold it in. If you let it out, just hold it in. Hold it. Hold it a little longer. Keep holding it. Notice what's happening in your body right now. Is there a tightness? Is there an urgency? Is there like, I want to let go? Okay, let it go. Ah. Welcome to the most important spiritual teaching you will ever get. You cannot hoard your breath. You cannot hoard your breath. And our body tells us, we breathe in, we breathe out. We breathe in, we take in all the nutrients of the oxygen, it circulates, it identifies everything that needs to be refreshed and renewed. And then when we release all the stuff that no longer serves us. And all the stuff that no longer serves us, guess what? The trees and the plants breathe it in because they need it in order to make oxygen. It's a beautiful, beautiful system. This is the system that God, Source, Goddess, the Infinite, created. I don't know what your term is, but whatever your term is for that infinite everything knowingness, there is an intelligence to it. And it's brilliant if we're willing to see it and also recognize its lessons for us. So our important lesson is that we are here like the breath. We are here to be channels of the infinite spirit, a channel where source flows through us, and we don't hold on to it, but let it go and allow it to be a place where we are source flowing through us. We are in the midst of the first four weeks in January, which traditionally in many spiritual Center for Spiritual Living communities is a reflection of the first four chapters of the Science of Mind textbook. And for those of you who don't know, this is not our Bible, but we do use it a lot in Centers for Spiritual Living. It was written by Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of our organization. And he found a way to synthesize the world's great religions and also philosophy and science and put it into what he recognized as a string of truth that ran through all religions and science. And so that's what we teach. And the first week is, what is it? You know, and the second week is what it does, and or the way it works. The second week is the way it works. And it's not the way you make it work. It's the way that it works. Because life already knows how to move. Spirit knows how to circulate. The spiritual practice isn't forcing life to respond. It's learning to stop blocking what's already happening. So there's a story about two lakes, both in the desert. You might have heard of them. They're both fed by the same mountain range, the exact same river. And one of them is called the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee has clear water. It's teeming with fish. It's lush. There's birds. There's life. It's beautiful. And the second one, 65 miles away from the same river, same climate, is the Dead Sea. And it's so dense with salt that nothing can live. So same source, same climate. Why is one vibrant and one called the Dead Sea? This is also spiritual law. Ernest Holmes wrote, "The universe is not a storehouse, but a throughway of spirit." So what it is the Sea of Galilee has the River Jordan, which is the inlet, and then it has an outlet, and it continues to flow on, feeding other places, other lakes, other rivers. And the Dead Sea, the water just goes in, and there's no outlet. That's the difference. And so this is yet another spiritual lesson on who can we be in this world? How can we operate so we have a thriving life, so that we're in a place that's vibrant and living, alive? And are we blocking the channel? Are we blocking the channel? So the question is, you know, not at the beginning of the year, how do I get more? The question is, what's blocking the flow that's already here? See, Spirit's nature is a nature of abundance. It created everything. It is already all that is. It is the most abundant thing you could ever imagine. It created every blade of grass, every little kernel of sand, every bird, every insect. Did you know there's like a billion insects for every human on the planet or something? I read this crazy thing. I'm sure all of you are like, oh. But there's so much life, and it is abundant. And that is our destiny, to be abundant in our life. And so if the channel is flowing through us easily and effortlessly, and yet we're not experiencing that sense of abundance in our life, it's an opportunity for us to look inward and go, what's blocking the flow? What's blocking the flow? You know, when your sink backs up, you don't call the water company and say, hey, how come there's not enough flow? Instead, you call the plumber who does the all the plumbing stuff and the Roto-Rooter and getting all that stuff, because there's something blocking the flow. And so you might say, how come, God, how come I'm not getting? It's like, well, maybe it's not about there being enough. Maybe it's more about, how can I be more tuned in to the flow of Spirit? What's blocking me from releasing? See, flow is life and stagnation is death. So what are you clenching onto instead of allowing to flow? What are you white knuckling right now? Is it money? Is it love? Do you want to have control over everything? Now, I want you to know, after my retreat on January 2nd, I also took last Sunday off because I am packing my house and I'm preparing to move. And I know, yes. Thank you. My wife and I want to be here. And part of the process of packing is utilizing whether or not do I want to pay to transport this thing over to my next house. Like, do I really need this thing? And we're evaluating everything, and every box, and every bin, everything. We're going through all the things. And so, and I'm going through all my clothes, and, you know, trying everything on. How do I look? How does it feel? Do you like me in this, honey? and releasing. And, you know, it's so great. I had two trash bags full of beautiful dress clothes that I got to give to the women's shelter. And for people who don't have the opportunity to have great, fabulous clothes at this time in their life until now, which they get to receive as well. See, whatever we discard is a benefit for the rest of the universe. Whatever we let go of, you know, they say somebody else's treasure. And so thanking everything that we release and also having the opportunity to go through things and release things is a perfect thing to do at this time of year. They say spring cleaning? No. January cleaning. And I've been doing that because, and trust me, it's sometimes hard. I'm not going to lie and be like, oh, it was so easy. Like, I'm like, but I think I like that thing. You know, Gina's like, you think you like it. Like, did anybody watch Marie Kondo? Yeah. If you haven't watched Marie Kondo, like, if you want to get rid of things and you're having problems, watch Marie Kondo on YouTube because she inspires people to just keep the things that bring you joy. Does it incite joy? You know, does it incite joy? Are you keeping it just to keep it? Or is it something that brings you joy? And I think that that is a good discerner. There's a story from Japan about a potter named Shoji. And he created tea bowls. And they were so exquisite that the emperors purchased them. And the students would watch his work. And they say, what do you do? And he says, watch the clay. Watch the clay. And he would just mold it in the right and perfect way. And it just seemed to kind of move in his hands. And he had a student who watched him for 3 years. And she said, I just don't get it. I don't get it. When I go into the clay, it's not working for me. And he said, okay. And he put a piece of clay in her hand and he said, you need to feel what the clay feels. You need to be tuned in to the energy of the clay. And she's like, clay doesn't have feelings. And he said, yeah, that clay came from a mountain and it remembers that. That clay came from beneath a stream. And it remembers that. That clay has history. It has wisdom in it. And he said, instead of you trying to impose your vision on the clay, what if you let the clay speak to you and you open yourself to the wisdom of what it already is? And so the next time when she sat down, he said, just surrender your whole idea of what you're thinking it needs to be. And he said, just feel into what it wants to be. And so when she sat down and she felt the clay, for the first time, she could feel it moving in a way that she never felt it move before. And she finally learned her master secret. But I wonder, how many times are we trying to enforce what we feel should be onto the universe. And not being open to what the universe has for us to be moving into. See, I do teach, we teach intention setting here, we teach prayers and all of this, but there's something even more to it than that. There's something even deeper to it than that. We need to be in a place where all of our gifts are opened and aligned so we can be of greatest service out into the world. And also, that comes with the caveat of, if I have certain ways of being, that doesn't mean it's your way of being. And allowing for the other ways of being to come together. We're reading this book, Braiding Sweetgrass, as our book of the month. And I'm listening to it on Audible. It's by Robin Wall Kilmerer, and Francine is doing a weekly book study. So if you're interested in reading and having a conversation about it, is Francine here today? No, okay. She's probably online. Hi, Francine. So one of the beautiful things in this book is she talks about the interconnection between the three sisters, is what she calls them. And it's corn and beans and squashes. And she said in her indigenous culture, she realized that they would grow them together. They'd plant the corn and the beans and the squashes together, and the corns would sprout first. And then the beans would start going around the corns once they were strong enough to hold the beans. And then the squash, the little leaves of the squash would blanket the floor. And so the blanket of the floor would prevent weeds. The corn would help the pea be up in the air where it needs to be to get its sunlight. And then the pea would allow the bean of the pea would allow the ground to produce nutrients that are nitrogen rich. So everybody was fed. So each of these different things supported each other, and alone they couldn't accomplish all of that together. But when they are planted and utilized together, then they create an amazing abundance of fruit. And I think that that's a beautiful analogy for us in a community, that we're here to each have our gifts, and our gifts are interdependent upon each other, and we need each other to flourish. But it also means that we get to give our gifts to the community, because whenever we give our gifts to each other, we all flourish together. So I love this analogy about being a place where abundance shows up. You know you're in a place where abundance shows up when everybody is sharing their gifts, when you're being a contribution, but then you're also receiving the contributions of other people's gifts. You know, Susan, raise your hand, Susan, so everybody can see Susan, submitted a Heferlin Foundation grant a couple of days ago. And Philip and Clara and I worked on putting together a Heferlin Foundation's grant, but I have to say, I am not a grant writer. I do not like doing that work at all. But Susan just said, I can do that. I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to gather all the bits of information. And Susan and Claire and I jumped together, and we all created what needed to happen. And so Susan's gift made it available for us to apply for this grant, which, by the way, is for upgraded microphones, because we have a radio station that's across the street that our current microphones are interacting with and dropping the sound. You might have noticed that, people online or people in the room. It's because we don't have really expensive digital microphones. But who would have known that until we found out? And we also have a couple of extra things in that grant request for our beautiful band that we have going on. But it all wouldn't have come together if we didn't all collaborate and share our many gifts. Philip has his gifts with technology. Clara has her gifts with research and all the administrativeness. And then Susan had her gifts in putting it all together. So when we get that grant approved, thank you, God. Thank you, everybody, for praying and knowing Heferlin's generosity. it's for $4,500, by the way. I look forward to sharing that abundance with all of you. But that's a perfect example of how we are here to both serve each other and to share our gifts. And when one person in our community is thriving, we're all thriving. So if we can assist each other in thriving together, then we can make this community even better than it already is, which is pretty freaking amazing, if you ask me. So, the first point I have is that you are the flow, not the bucket. You're the flow, not the bucket. You are the place where Spirit is flowing through. You're not a bucket or a reservoir. You don't have a limited amount of things to give or things to share. You're the place where it's flowing through. You are the source. God is the source, or goddess, whatever your name is the source. And you're the place, the channel where it flows through. My second point is fear closes the channel and trust opens it. Ernest Holmes said, fear is the greatest obstruction to the natural flow of life. Fear isn't bad, it just makes us constrict. Fear makes us constrict. So there's a Sufi story of a man who prayed for God to remove the river from his path. And in the dream, God replied, why are you asking me to remove the river from your path when I gave you the intelligence to build a boat? So the obstacle wasn't the river. It was his belief that flow needed to look different, or that he didn't have what it takes to create something that allows that flow to happen. So we all have what it takes. We have inherent tools and gifts within each and every one of us, but sometimes it's our own fear that prevents us from stepping into that place of creation. And so whoever you are, you're here on purpose. Your life has meaning. You have gifts to share, and we can all create together. My last point is to trust. Trust is the most active thing you can do. Trust is faith. If you trust the universe, maybe the universe who knows how to create us breathing out and the trees breathing in and have that all work out together, maybe it knows how to create the right and perfect solution for you. Now, I want to tell you it's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. For instance, I am packing a house without another house to land at. And so I am in the middle of literally walking my talk. And it's uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie. But what I want you to do is pray for me and Gina to find the right and perfect, amazingly brilliant house in Bellingham that suits our needs, so we can land here, that's perfect and at the right price, and that we sell our house for an abundant price that is a win-win. I would love that. And also, I have to know that if I was called here, and if I said yes to this amazing community, and if I put my house up for sale, there is a divine design for the right and perfect place for me to land at. And so even though I haven't seen it yet, doesn't mean it's not there. And so I get this walk of trust of knowing I'm packing for my dream house. I'm packing for my next dream house. By the way, my old dream house is a dream house. The place I'm leaving is an amazing place. And can it be even better? The answer is yes. And so I stand here now looking forward to the day when I get to say to you, our creation, our dreams have manifested because of the willingness to say yes and to know that there is a divine design. There is a perfect and right place for me to land at. I had a dream in my dark night of the soul of the perfect and right community. And why wouldn't the perfect and right community come with the right and perfect house? So those are the three things. Trust is not passivity. It's activity. It means you say yes before the money shows up. You pack your house before you have a house to go to. You act as the flow is actually real. And you know that something is planning an amazing next step for you and your life. And you don't have to know how. That's the cool thing, is that Spirit knows all the steps in the in-between. The seed doesn't necessarily know how to become the oak tree or how it's going to get all its nutrients, but it knows that it is an oak tree. And we just get to trust and know that we are part of the flow. So at this beginning of the year, I encourage you to give with no expectation of return. I encourage you to be open to receiving and allowing the universe to support you and to release any attachment you have of what you think it should look like, knowing that it's even better than that. If you're willing to do that, I think we're on our way to a great year. So let's pray. Again, I am so deeply grateful. I'm grateful for this land that I stand on. I'm grateful for this earth that gives to me freely. I'm grateful for the infinite universe that gives to me freely, that my source is unlimited. And I know that myself and each and every person here and online is a place where that source flows through easily and effortlessly. That I am a place where abundance shows up. And I'm grateful to know that I am fully supported in all of my activities and my dreams and my aspirations and my word for the year. My word for the year is freedom and abundance. And I recognize and know that this freedom and abundance is active and activated in me. And as I have said, that this is a place of freedom and abundance. The universe responds in kind, showing me exactly what that looks like. And so I surrender any blockages, any ways that I'm holding on to things, any belief systems or grudges or ways of being that I think I need to be. And I surrender into the wisdom of the universe, opening me up to my gifts so that I may be of greatest service to this community and to the world. As I know this for myself, I know this for each and every person here, that each and every one of us is active and activated with those gifts, filled to and overflowing with this way of being, this place of co-supporting and collaborating each other. I'm grateful to know that this community continues to grow and build off of its gifts from each other. And that as we stand here today at the beginning of a new year, that by the end of this year, we are going to look back and enjoy the fruits, the abundance of who we are and who we came here to be. Knowing that truly it is the infinite source that flows through us and allows this creation to happen because we said yes. I trust it, I know it, I'm grateful for it, and I release this prayer knowing it's already done, and so it is.